Hi, welcome to Standard's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings. I'm the chief economist within Standard. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to discuss two key topics. The one is what is happening with US interest rates, given that the US economy seems actually fairly robust. The employment data last week was exceptionally strong, and there is some risk that you see a reacceleration of inflation. So what does the Fed do with that? Do they delay a possible interest rate cut? And I think we need to discuss that. There's a lot of detail within that, but hopefully we can summarize the key issues. The second topic I thought would be useful to delve into is what is happening with South Africa's credit growth. Now, under current circumstances, obviously interest rates being elevated, consumers under pressure, is there a significant indulgence in household credit? And the answer seems to be no, there isn't. There's a curtailment of credit growth by the major banks, which I think are being fairly conservative. So I think let's discuss those two key topics. So let's start with the US. Last week they had their interest rate meeting, and obviously they left interest rates unchanged. But there were three elements to that discussion that I think are worth highlighting. The first is that within the FOMC statement, they removed the phrase that refers to the risk of interest rates going up further. In other words, the Federal Reserve is explicitly saying that they don't think there's a risk of interest rates having to go up further. They've reached the top of the interest rate cycle, and therefore legitimately the market can focus on when do they start to cut interest rates. The second element is that in terms of the interest rate cut, Jerome Powell made it clear that they're not quite there yet. They need what he called more confidence before they start to cut, which I think he means they need more evidence that inflation is being brought under control and that it will head to the 2% target. They don't have to wait for inflation to be at 2%, but they are certainly not yet in a position where they feel comfortable enough to cut rates. And presumably that confidence would grow if inflation were to fall below 3%. So let's say that the overall inflation rate is 2.5% or 2.6%, 2.7%. Then you would imagine that that's enough confidence, enough clarity for them to start the interest rate cutting cycle. But as things stand at the moment, we're not yet at that point, and so they would clearly want to wait for further inflation data to suggest that the moderation continues. The third aspect that came that I took from that meeting was that in the press conference, Powell was asked specifically about the possibility of cutting interest rates in March, which is the next FOMC interest rate meeting, and he specifically said that is very unlikely. Now, he didn't need to say that, so perhaps he regrets that, but he has explicitly taken March off the table. And so that sets up for your first interest rate cut in May at best, possibly even beyond that. Maybe they delay that to June or even the second half of the year. And I think that the exact timing of that interest rate cut will depend very much on how the data evolves, specifically whether inflation makes more progress and falls below 3%. Now, last week, we also had the employment report out, and the problem for the Federal Reserve is that the labor market just remains incredibly strong, probably too strong. The U.S. created 323,000 jobs in the month. The previous month was revised up to an increase of over 300,000 jobs. So effectively, in the last 2 months, the U.S. has added, at this stage of the economic cycle, more than 600,000 jobs. Yet, interest rates are elevated. In addition, consumer confidence went up. It's not as if consumers are saying, gee, interest rates are very high, I'm under pressure, and their confidence is falling. That's not the case. Confidence actually went up. The reason being that the labor market is strong and that inflation is coming down. So on the face of it, there doesn't seem to be much pain that the US economy is experiencing because of higher interest rates. And then, unfortunately, in addition, the wage growth accelerated. Wage growth has generally been softening in recent months, but the latest labor market report reflected an acceleration in wages to 4.5%. And when you put all of that data together, it makes you a little bit uncertain about the timing of the first interest rate cut in the US. And at this stage, while we do expect that the first rate cut could happen in May of this year, it's entirely feasible that the Federal Reserve doesn't see enough progress, worries about the underlying strength of the US economy, and simply delays the start of the interest rate cutting cycle to June or slightly later than that. I still think inflation will moderate. Shelter inflation should come down. I don't think there's a huge amount of inflationary pressure within the US. So I'm reasonably confident that the outlook for inflation remains solid. I'm also reasonably confident that the US economy can avoid a recession. I still think there's a soft landing or some moderation in growth that is probably likely, but it doesn't feel likely that they'll go into a recession. And that leaves a kind of uncomfortable mix of data. And the last thing the Federal Reserve wants to do is get this decision wrong. In other words, to cut interest rates and then find a couple of months later that no, actually inflation is reaccelerating and now they've got to put up interest rates. That would be chaotic for markets, and it would also undermine their credibility, which has been fragile in recent years anyway. So I think it's a decision they want to get right, and therefore in order to get it right, you want to make the decision as late as possible. You don't want to be forced into the decision. You want to be absolutely sure. And that would suggest that you're going to take your time, and that the timing of that interest rate cut could end up being a little bit later than what most people are anticipating, and potentially as far out as June or a couple of months after that. So it's something to bear in mind, and we'll keep update you on that outlook, because it's absolutely critical for financial markets and obviously for global economic performance. So let's turn our attention to the South African economy and specifically what's happening to household credit. We know that consumers are under pressure, obviously interest rates being elevated, that creates quite a lot of anguish for most households. In addition, we can see that inflation has been rising faster than income. So when we look at disposable income for the last three quarters, it's actually been negative each quarter. And clearly under those circumstances, very difficult for consumers to continue to spend at quite the same pace. And we've seen retail sales slow during the course of the last 12 months. And for last year in its entirety, we find that retail sales declined by about 1%. So all of that suggests a household sector that is struggling. But is the household sector indulging in credit? Are they trying to maintain some form of lifestyle with the use of credit? And the answer seems to be no, certainly not to the extent that they've done that in the past. So let's have a look at some of the key numbers. If we look at household, the growth in household credit, at the beginning of this year, at the beginning of last year, I should say, it was growing at 8%, which was fairly elevated, not ridiculous, but fairly high. Obviously, at the time, inflation was high. But subsequent to that, household credit growth has now slowed to only 4.3%, and that suggests a significant moderation, a significant tightening up of credit conditions by the banking sector. And so overall, you have to argue that credit growth is actually growing slower than inflation. So in real terms, it's going backwards, and that speaks to this idea that there is a degree of conservatism going on. Now, I don't think that is conservatism by households. I think this is banks being more concerned about economic conditions, more concerned about the pressure that the household sector finds itself, and it doesn't want to be reckless in the granting of credit. If I look at mortgage growth, that has also slowed from 8% at the beginning of 23 down to currently 4%. So certainly the residential property market we know is taking strain, and banks have tightened up there. And likewise with personal loans. Think about personal loans were growing at 13% at the beginning of 23, now growing at only 4.3%. So all of that data confirms that there has been a tightening of credit standards. The one area where credit growth remains robust is credit card debt. At the beginning of 23, it was growing at 8.9% and is currently growing at 9.1%. And so you can argue that the household sector is indulging in the use of credit cards. I think this is coming about because people have an existing balance or an existing limit on their credit cards, and they're able to utilize that limit, and the banks generally don't go around reducing that limit. And I think that's what's allowing the household sector to increase their credit card usage and use that in part to maintain consumer spending. I don't think that is going to prove to be sustained. I think it will soon start to slow because my suspicion is that the banks are not actively increasing credit card limits at this stage. Having said all of that, there are some banks where there's much more household credit growth than others. So let me give you one sharp contrast. Let's take credit card debt. If I look at Standard Bank's growth in credit card debt in the last 12 months, that sits at around about 1.5% growth versus a national average of 9.1%. So who is actually growing credit card debt? And if I look at Capitec, that growth rate is up at about 24%. So huge difference in approach, huge difference in strategy. Obviously, you could argue that Capitec is trying to gain market share and has a different customer base, but it gives you some idea that there isn't uniformity in the approach to granting of credit. But from what I can see, the major banks in South Africa have definitely tightened credit conditions. And so that should help us as we go further into this interest rate cycle. We think it's still a few months before the Reserve Bank starts to cut rates. This is the time when households experience a huge amount of strain. We worry about bad debts. But I think overall, it can end up being fairly well managed, certainly relative to previous cycles. That doesn't mean there isn't pain, that there isn't some fallout as a consequence of the elevated interest rates. There absolutely is. But I think relative to the type of pain we've experienced in the past, I think it can be contained. And I think as soon as we start to cut interest rates, we'll find that the household sector starts to experience some relief. And then hopefully during the course of next year, the household sector is in better space to start to utilize good credit in terms of buying houses and cars, and that the base is then relatively low for a sustained improvement in economic activity. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.